In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with Sister Latido. And she says she was born in Corrado on March 7th, 1934. She says, I have personally known the servant of God, having been born in Corrado, where I remained without interruption until my entrance into the Institute of the Apostles of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And she says, until 1950, I was a member of the parish of St. Mary the Greek, the same parish as Luisa Picaretta. There I grew in the Catholic Action Movement, and with the opportunity to meet many beautiful spiritual souls, one of which was Miss Simone Domo, who never failed to speak about Luisa, her life and her incessant prayers. My spiritual director was also a member of the Catholic Action Movement in Italy. He worked as a seminarian, in the 40s and 50s. It was not easy to go to the house of Luisa. The same lady on various occasions gave details to small groups. I'm sorry, something just came up on my screen and I can't get rid of it. Hold on. Okay. The same lady on various occasions gave details to small groups, possibly to go there to spin and to learn how to make lace. To greet and offer small gestures of love to Luisa, who was known to them as the saint while they were still alive. From early childhood, I felt the need to speak about Luisa with my aunts, my grandmother, and other persons much larger than myself. They turned to Luisa for her intercession, for their necessities in order to recommend their beloved ones and those who were called to war before and after the Second World War. For she always had a word of comfort and encouragement. She never stopped reassuring them of her prayers for the intentions, for their intentions, because all their necessities were granted. So we can see that through, even today, through Luisa's intercession, we see many of our prayers answered in very, very powerful ways. The servant of God said, we pray, we only pray. With these words, she wanted to say, do not trust in my prayers, but our prayers together. And this is the thing that's so beautiful about the divine will. When you pray in the divine will, it's in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. Every night, as you make your act of contrition, you go through your day, you should present to the Lord not only your faults, your human inadequacies, but you want to present to the Heavenly Father everyone, all of humanity, from Adam to the last person that'll ever exist, pleading with the Lord to have mercy on us, pleading with the Lord to forgive us. These two things, forgiveness and have mercy, are essential, especially like they've said, when the illumination of conscience comes, the one prayer that you should be praying continuously during that time would be, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, a sinner. We're going to see ourselves from God's perspective, and it's going to be very shocking for most. Most people are really in the dark of their life. I remember I was talking to one person once who, he was in the seminary, and he had a speech impediment. And, they kept on delaying him because of his speech impediment. And he said to me, his accent, as we would say, he says, I don't have a speech impediment. And it was just very strange, because he'd really believe that he was speaking normally. He couldn't hear himself speak. He always thought that everything was fine. And this is what happens in the spiritual life too. I say my prayers. A lot of people, when they go to confession, they say, well, I've been pretty good. I got to Mass, and we're not here for your goodness. We want to know what did you do that opposed the will of God? And a lot of people can't say anything bad about themselves, you know, the truth, because they've always been taught, you got to be good. You got to be good. You can't fall into sin. So a lot of people, unfortunately, when the illumination of conscience comes, they're going to be shocked. A good confession is you go through your confession, like sifting, dirt. You know, you might not have the big boulders, the great sins, but as you're going through this sifting, you go to, there's smaller boulders, there's smaller rocks, and there's smaller rocks, and there's smaller stones, and there's tinier stones, and there's little pebbles. As you go through the sifting, as you go through your life, and this is what one of the reasons why it's good to make a general confession, going through your whole life, you know, in times when you make a consecration, or you know, getting married, or a new beginning, especially with the divine will. The general confession is to go through your whole life, and you've got to take notes, because you're as you pray about this, as you go through your life, there'll be a lot of tears, a lot of sorrow. The guilt turns into a greater sorrow. And the Lord will remind you every now and then, your angels will remind you every now and then of, you know, not your sin, but how God is asking us to grow in perfection. So it's important for a good confession, a general confession every now and then, but also to be, you're so happy when you make a good confession, because you're full of grace. So with Luisa, it's even more spectacular. This is the thing you're going to discover. When you pray, especially at night, before you fall asleep, pray in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. God hears all of humanity praying with your voice. And you really plead for everyone and for everything. You ask that we can all come back to God and be where God wants us to be. And that is living in the divine will. So she says, my mother was a pupil of Rosaria Bucci. This is Father Bucci's aunt, who lived many years with Luisa and directed the embroidery school, the class of learning how to make lace. The servant of God, especially during her last few years, lived only on faith, and she did not dedicate much time to the work of the tumbalo. That's when you go to her room, you'll see this leather thing around this tube, this tumbalo, and it's got holes in it. And this is where you would do the lace. You would follow the pattern of making this lace. And as a matter of fact, we read before about Aunt Rosaria, how Luisa didn't have the strength to tie the knots tightly. So she'd leave that for Aunt Rosaria, Father Bucci's aunt, to tighten everything. However, she was always alert for the girls who attended the school. She didn't have time to work on the tumbalo because of, you know, getting ready for heaven. So she said, my mother, in her turn, has also taught me how to work the tumbalo, which I appreciated very much. Luisa's working on the tumbalo. Here's a picture of her, Luisa. Now, as you can see, the window behind her, she's outside. More than likely, she's outside in the garden, which is right outside her room when you go visit. And she's working on the tumbalo. So here she is in the sun. She's got a smile on her face, and she's delighting in Jesus working in her working. You know, Jesus breathing in her breathing, Jesus beating in her heart beating. And this is what God teaches us as well. We're never alone. He puts us in solitude sometimes, so that he can teach us more. He can lead us, guide us, direct us with our intellect, memory, and will. The three powers that God gave us, our intellect, memory, and will. With the intellect, we begin to see things, understand things from Christ's perspective, from a divine perspective. It's not totally. But you'll be like reading sacred scripture, and you go, Jesus will explain, okay, to you, you know, certain things that will help you understand sacred scripture. For example, this is today's reading, volume four, December 4th, 1902, 101 years ago. Jesus says about what's coming. Now, if I can find it, Jesus says that this is a profound understanding of what the priest is going to be doing in the new era. And it's on volume 4, 12, 4, 1902. This isn't funny. I printed it up and I can't find it. Oh, the future. Listen to this. Jesus says that, show yourself to the priest. He says, this is power extended everywhere from any place. I, Jesus, could operate the most sensational miracles. Yet in almost all my miracles, I wanted to be personally present. For example, when I resurrected Lazarus, when I went there, I had them remove the sculptor, the stone, and then I had him released. And then with my empire of my voice, I called him back to life. In the resurrection of the young girl, he says, I took her by the hand with my right hand. I called her back to life, and in many other things which are recorded in the gospel, which are known to all. I wanted to be there with my presence. Now, this is important for the priests. This teaches the way in which the priest must behave and is operating. Since the future life of the church was enclosed in mine, he says, my life, in these things are that it pertain to you in general, but your specific circumstances, they will find on Calvary. I was the priest, I was the victim, and I was lifted up on the wood of the cross, and I wanted a priest to be present to assist me in that state of victim. It was St. John who represented the church. In him, I saw everyone, the popes, the bishops, the priests, all the faithful together. And while assisting me, he offered me as victim for the glory of the Father and for the good outgrowth of the church, the new church. And in fact, a priest assisted me in that state of victim and did not happen by chance, but everything was a profound mystery predisposed from eternity in the divine mind, intending that when I choose a soul as victim for the grave need present in the church, listen to this part, a priest must offer that soul to me. The priest must assist that soul for me. The priest should help that soul and encourage that soul to suffer. If these things are understood, fine. They themselves will receive the fruit of the work they offer, just like St. John. And how many goods did he not receive for having assisted me on Mount Calvary? And he says, so Jesus is saying that the priest is he offers sacrifice. And, you know, in the church, there are many who are suffering, and it's to encourage the souls. When people call and say, pray for me, I'm going through, you know, difficult times, physically, spiritual, mentally, emotionally, emotional difficulties. It's the priest who should say, I'm going to pray for you. And God is going to take care of this. You're with God, and this is going to help many souls who can't endure what you're going through, and they won't be able to get to heaven without your help. And a man who I knew Jesus used to appear to, he told me that when we get to heaven, we're going to thank all the people that got us to heaven. We're going to meet him, you know, because of your prayers, because of your suffering, because of your closeness to Jesus, you helped me get to heaven. And then we're going to meet people who I got to heaven because of our faith, our prayer. And that's going to be the glory in heaven, is we're going to be thanking people, and people are going to be just in thanksgiving that they're there. Because of mainly because of the priests who offer the sacrifice, the priests who offer the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the priests who hear confessions and take that corruption, that sin, and bury it, and so that's gone. It's through the absolution of the priest. So again, there's many things that when you read the calendar. Every day, Jesus is teaching us more and more. Every day, Jesus is leading us closer and closer to this deeper understanding of how much he loves humanity, how much he cares for humanity and wants humanity to embrace this new and divine way of living. So Jesus, Louisa says, I mean, not Louisa, this lady says, the sister says, my mother took me a few times to the house of Louisa, but it was enough for me to save the beautiful memory of her. It was always her serene face. This says what Father Bucci said. She never expressed anguish or pain. And she had the invisible stigmata constantly. But she said to Jesus, I don't want anybody to know about this, you know? So here, the serene face of Louisa, the peacefulness, her joy. This is what Father Bucci says. When you looked into her eyes, it was heaven, he said. So always turn towards something or someone that was not giving us to see. She was always, you know, I mean, she was more in heaven than on earth. So she was looking at someone or something that no one else could see. She was like being in the presence of Louisa. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine who was in the hospital for, I mean, he was dying. He said that the doctors came in and they said, there's nothing we can do. We could just comfort you. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, your heart is gone, basically. And, you know, the doctor left and Louisa appeared in the room. And for those 2 weeks, Louisa was there every day, smiling at him. And at the end, the doctor didn't give him anything because he just came in. He says, well, you're happy, you know, we'll walk out of the room. Every day he got better. And finally, after 2 weeks, they let him go. He said to Louisa, he didn't hear Louisa say anything, but he knew what she was saying. He said it was almost telepathically, to, you know, the mentally he heard her. And he said to Louisa, are you smiling because you're laughing at me? Are you smiling at me because you're happy? I want to know. I mean, you've been here every day. See, you know, he saw her every day. And he heard, not with his ears, but he understood. Louisa said, I'm happy because of the suffering that you're going through. This is what Louisa said. Will bring the kingdom sooner. So when we go through suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering, when we do this in the divine will, it brings the kingdom here sooner. That's the joy. That's the glory that we're going to know when the kingdom comes. So Louisa had the ability to reach others, not because of her persona, but through the grace of God, the diffusion of the spirituality of the divine will in her writings. In fact, even though Louisa lived in silence and in hiddenness, she was well known, loved, and respected by everyone. However, this did not create fantasisms around Louisa. In fact, as for Padre Pio, there was such fanaticism, and probably still is now. But for Louisa, I have not seen this in anyone. Because I had the opportunity to meet Louisa many times during her life, it made it possible for me to participate in Louisa's funeral, which we can call the triumph of Louisa. Always guided, always directed by the Action for Catholic Action Group. Groups of little ones were given the opportunity to see Louisa, even though many people wanted to see the body of Louisa dressed in white, and even just for a few minutes, from the largest to the smallest. Everyone followed Louisa's coffin over the long distance. It was carried on the shoulders of the larger of us, the youth of the AC, but also that of the nuns. Even the Daughters of Mary and other congregations had the joy of carrying Louisa's coffin on their shoulders. And then there's a picture of the Daughters of Divine Zeal sharing in the carrying of the coffin of Louisa. Now, this next sister, Sister Vincenza Caputo, she was bubbly. She was just filled with joy. I mean, when I met her way back, and what a beautiful sister she was. This one here. She's standing right at the right of the side of the altar of the tabernacle where the bed of Louisa was located when Louisa lived with the Daughters of Divine Zeal in St. Anthony's Orphanage, built by St. Annabelle Maria de Francia. And right where the tabernacle is, the cross that's on the wall was the cross that came to life. As a matter of fact, Jesus, you know, he was hanging down like this, and she touched his head and lifted his head up. She says, I can't see you. And that crucifix came to life. That was the crucifix that in her room that came to life and gave the rays of the his wounds into Luisa's hands and her side and her feet and her head. This cross that's there, it's a very, very mysterious cross. I mean, it came to life. And the tabernacle's right next to it. And that's where the head of her bed used to be. So when you walked into our room where the tabernacle is, as you can see, if you have the picture there, you can see that's where Luisa would be looking at you. She'd be sitting right, her head would be right there looking at you as you came in. And now the church in its wisdom puts the tabernacle there. Because in the writings of today, Jesus says to Luisa, you and I are together. You and I are one. I dwell within you. You dwell within me. This is what the divine will is. It's not to be separated in any way, shape, or form from God. It's to live the life that Adam lost. Live this divine life that Adam lost, which is for us is even more because it's the divine life of the new Adam Jesus and the new Eve Mary that they breathed into Luisa. She says, my name is Sister Vicenza Caputo. I was born in Corrado. I am 81 years old. I am currently in the Institute of St. Anthony in Corrado, established by St. Honorable de Francia, and had the desire to make this place for the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, to live. As a matter of fact, the place was built. See, there was one in Trani, but St. Honorable de Francia said to Luisa, I want you to come to Messina in Sicily. And Luisa says, I can't. Jesus wants me to stay in Corrado. And he says, okay, I'll build an orphanage in Corrado. And this is where a lot of people came. A lot of the orphans came. And they had the opportunity to meet Luisa. So this is just, it must have been an amazing time. See, I knew Luisa when I was about 14 years old. From that time on, my novitiate, every time I visited my family, I would go to Luisa. There was a destiny in her words. Now, this is destiny is what Jesus says to Luisa. He says to Luisa, the destiny of the world is found in you, Luisa. The destiny of the world is found in Luisa. Now, what does that mean? We're going to go back to what Adam lost. The new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II talked about isn't really new. It's the oldest thing. It's the life that God breathed in, the Ruah of God breathed into Adam. That we're going to go back to that. This destiny of the world is found in you, Luisa. What is that destiny? It's to really begin to live in God's image. And now with the book of heaven, the likeness of God. So Jesus, the sister says she did not speak very much. She said those little things that are recorded in the spirit and leaves a deep impression. I have an excellent memory of the love Luisa had for Jesus and that she was a sweetheart of the Madonna, of Our Lady. She carried the spirit of love for them. And that's what you see with Sister. You could see this fantastic love that she has for Jesus and Mary through Luisa. I met Luisa for the first time. I said to her, I want to become a nun. She answered me, you want to become a nun, then you must listen to this. Put your human will under your feet. This is how to live in the divine will. It's everything is for the will of God. Everything is for the glory of God. Everything is letting God be God in your life. So he says to Luisa, I made your senses for God. I want to gaze in your gazing. I want to listen in your listening. I want to speak in your speaking. I want to walk in your walking. I want to breathe in your breathing. I want to beat in your heart beating. I want to be one with you, one with my child, my children. So this is, you haven't experienced anything yet. The saintly life, the good life, the holy life is doing the will of God. But to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, this great gift that God wants to breathe on humanity, he says, I have to find those that want this more than anything, and then I will give it to the world. So he's looking at us and he's saying, how much do you love the divine will? How much do you know the divine will? How much do you read? Where's your time spent? Your time to spent tells you who you are. Where do you spend your time? If it's in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that's good. If you're falling in love in front of the Blessed Sacrament, that's better. It's to die to your ego and your will. So it's because that's what Adam did. Adam chose his ego and his will, his human will, rather than God. And we've been living like this misery. We've been redeemed 2,000 years ago. But now Jesus says, now is the time for sanctification. So she says, you must put your human will under your feet. And with these words, she wanted to impress the obedience and submission to the superiors. She said, if you want to become a spouse of Christ, you must have the characteristics of a spouse. So here is why we wear the wedding ring. Jesus has proposed to us. This is what we've learned from Louisa. He came to earth for a bride. He's going to marry the church collectively, but he wants an individual marriage with each and every one of us. We will experience Christ in a way that no one else can experience Christ. We can love Jesus more than anybody else can love Jesus in the way that he breathes the spirit in us. You know, this new and divine way of holiness. So she says, if you want to become a spouse, and this is where we should be, you must have the characteristics of a spouse. Having read the writings of Father Inibile, I have noticed he appreciated the spirituality of Louisa. He said, this is St. Honorable de Francia, I have never found spirituality so sublime. This is not a spirituality of the earth, but a celestial spirituality. Now you have to remember, St. Honorable de Francia was also the spiritual director of Melanie of La Salette. So he heard through Melanie everything that Our Lady told her. And if you want to know where we are today, read Our Lady of La Salette. It's very, very clear that everything that Our Lady told her, Our Lady of La Salette told Melanie, what she put down on paper basically, is what we're going through right now. It's going to be tough, but it's like Jesus said, it's going to be like a birth pains. It's going to be intense. It's going to be more frequent, the pain, but the kingdom's coming. The baby is going to be born, if you want to say. So when you listen to St. Honorable de Francia and St. John Paul II called St. Honorable de Francia, the one that you pray for, if you need priests, if you need a bishop, if you need a deacon, this is who you pray to. And through his intercession, you receive the priest that you're praying for, the bishop you're praying for, the deacon that you're praying for. So he says, I have never found the spirituality of Louisa. It's so sublime in any other saint. And this is not a spirituality of the earth, but a celestial spirituality. So this, what God is calling us to is, I just lost. There it is. It's back. God is calling us to this celestial spirituality. He needs us to embrace something that Jesus and Mary possess. The saints did not possess this celestial spirituality. As he said, I've never found this spirituality so sublime. It's not a spirituality of the earth. It's not saintly, earthly spirituality, but a celestial spirituality. In fact, everything which Louisa was said to produce was actually produced by Jesus and the Blessed Mother. So everything that Louisa echoed Jesus. That's why if you want to know the prayers of the divine will, go to the Echo Book. The Echo Book has all the prayers that Jesus taught Louisa in the divine will. And you're going to learn. I mean, I've had people come up to me and they say, I just wrote this wonderful thing on praying in the divine will. And I'd listen to it and I'd read it and I'd go, it's nice. It's beautiful. But it's earthly. It's not, there's the celestial spirituality comes from Louisa. Why? Because it came from Jesus and Mary. We haven't learned that yet. We haven't possessed that yet. So he says everything Louisa said was produced by Jesus and Mary. Everything that she echoed was Jesus and Mary. That's why the Echo book is so important for us. Luisa had absorbed it because Luisa's life was dipped in the hearts of Jesus and Mary as they instructed her. She breathed this in. She fed herself with these words of Jesus and Mary. Luisa's life was all Jesus, all Mary. They transmitted their spirituality to Luisa, and Luisa transmitted this doctrine of the heavens to those who are reading it now. Luisa's doing this. It's very important that we understand this new and divine way of holiness is going to, it's happening, and it's so beautiful. It's so beyond saintly that you know this is being transmitted from Jesus and Mary. So this is a deep attribute of Luisa, and we can all receive this doctrine of the divine will as Archbishop Corrada, Archbishop Cassati, Archbishop Piceri, all of them said. This doctrine of the divine will is the whole church is going to breathe this in. This is not another spiritual sanctity of a saint. It's not saint, like Jesus says, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. This is not like divine mercy. Divine mercy is beautiful. It's saintly and it's good and it's holy. What Jesus is given to Luisa, this is what it is. The deep attribute of Luisa, that we all can receive this doctrine and we can all live this intimate life of God, one that God, Jesus and Mary breathed into Luisa. And then the sister says that she was a really, you'll see her if you watch The Dawn of a Mystery, you'll see her. She was a fireball. This is a beautiful memory I have of Luisa. I was not close to the servant of God, but I have known many things about Luisa on account of my sister, the Giovanni Capoza from Corrado. I was already a postulant in the general house in Rome when Luisa died. The death of Luisa was communicated to our community in Rome. On that occasion, I suffered very much because I could not be in Corrado for her funeral, but I was there spiritually. And that's the other thing too. The gift that God gives the little children, the Holy Divine Will, is by location. And it's to be where God, or if you can't be there physically, is to be where God is calling you to be spiritually. And then that leads to actually being there. You can actually go to Golgotha. You can actually go to Bethlehem. And because the gift that Jesus says, I give to the children the divine will, is by location. So I entered the convent of Trani in June 1945 before leaving for Rome. Our teacher took us to Corrado to greet Luisa. It was an obligation for all the nuns. The nuns of the divine zeal often went to Luisa. Luisa had treasures to communicate to us, and every nun had an intimate talk with the servant of God. For my profession, I had Father Luca, a Rogationist, for my spiritual advisor. When I was introduced to his church, he asked, "Where do you come from?" I answered, "I am from Corrado." And he said, "Then you are of Luisa Picaretta." See, this is the thing, that Corrado is not going to be another Giovanni Rotondo, but Corrado is going to be the place that will be visited by almost everyone, because this is what he says. "I am from Corrado." "Then you are from Luisa Picaretta." He says, "Yes." She says, "Yes, I am of Luisa Picaretta." And then he continued, "I recommend that you must be an image of the divine will because you have learned this from Luisa." Now you see everybody in Italy. Well, not everybody, but those who knew Luisa recognize something that was not of earth. It's of heaven. So listen to what he says. "I recommend," and this is what we should be recommending, each one of us, "I recommend that you be an image of the divine will because you have learned this from Luisa." When we learn, when we read, when we study, when we put this into practice, we're learning from Luisa the way Jesus and Mary taught Luisa. And it's Jesus and Mary that's teaching us. So she says, when I entered the convent, she says, I was not totally aware of the great treasure that I knew. I have assimilated and lived it every day because of the founding father, Annibal Maria de Francia, and had fallen in love with this spirit. The spirituality had fused him to Luisa. Luisa learned the Rogate from Father Inibile, and he learned the divine will, and he learned the divine will from Luisa. Thanks to Luisa, he investigated deeply this mystery of the divine will. And that's what we're doing now. We're investigating deeply this gift of gifts, as Jesus calls it, the prodigy of prodigies, which Jesus calls it. He says, a mission that I could, there's no greater mission than living in the divine will. We're entering into this mystery, and it's Jesus. It's really Jesus, Mary, and Luisa with you. I mean, like my friend, when he was having a heart attack, when he was having those heart attacks, Luisa was there, and she was happy because his suffering was making the kingdom come sooner. So she says, for 10 years, I lived in this convent from 1928 to 1938. Her room was located at the head of the altar of the Holy Sacrament, adjacent to the chapel where the nuns gathered with the orphans in order to assist and pray at Holy Mass. Luisa wrote her last diaries under the gaze of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. And that's why when you read from volume 25 to volume 36, it's she's one with Jesus, and her eyes are focused on Jesus, one eye on him and one eye on the writings. Jesus was explaining to her in detail. And that's what happens when we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. It's not a time for reading a book. It's a time for falling in love with Jesus. And that hour is essential, especially for the priests, for the sisters, for the deacons, for the bishops. That hour is just astonishing. I remember Bishop Sheen coming to the seminary and kneeling. He came to give a talk, and the first thing he did, he went right up to the chapel and knelt in front of the Blessed Sacrament, perfectly still for an hour. It was a delight. So in the recent renovation for the widening of the chapel, perhaps without knowing it, the Holy Sacrament and the altar are now located in the place where the bed of the servant of God used to be. No, that was planned. That was planned by God. A phrase written on the wall remembers the presence of Luisa in that place. Anima ayutame, soul help me. This when she was 12 years old, she was a daughter of Mary in that organization. And she heard a commotion outside her window, and she looked out the window, and there was Jesus carrying the cross and seeing her, he yelled out, soul, help me. And Luisa fainted at that point, and, you know, at 12 years old said, yes, gave her fiat. This distinguished phrase spoken by Jesus characterized all of Luisa's life. Luisa, from her bed, contemplated the Eucharistic mystery and instilled its spirit. Luisa did not speak about it, but did speak about Jesus and Our Lady, the Madonna. And here you see Luisa in front and Angelina, her sister, and an unidentified woman in the middle. But then there's Aunt Rosaria on the right of Luisa. Oh, it's really the left hand of Luisa, right on our side. Right behind Luisa's left elbow is Aunt Rosaria. And as you notice, she's holding her hand like this because she had no fingers. She was always embarrassed by that. So she always held her hand like this. And you'll always know her, no matter where she is, that she's always covering up her fingerless hand. But see, God used that to help her be the assistant of Luisa. To be there, she was the first one to hear everything in the higher volumes. She then she gave this book, the volume 35 and 36, you know, after Luisa died, she held on to those books. Nobody wanted them, and gave them to Father Bucci. So Father Bucci had volume 1 through 19 that Father Inibile printed. We had got the Nihil Obstat and the imprimatur of Archbishop Leo, and I lost my train of thought. He got the, and well, anyways, so right here, it's, it's tough getting old. Okay. One time aloud, Luisa had taken, outside to the garden, her sister Angelina and her sister Rosaria often accompanied her. She instructed the orphans to love Jesus, to love Mary. And in particular, she invited them to pray the novena of the Nativity of the Immaculata. In this garden, sometimes mystical phenomena occurred. And when you go to the garden, Jesus said in volume 26, This garden is a simile of the Garden of Eden. And he says, you, Luisa, are the third Eve. You're not the Eve, the destroyer, not the Eve, the mother of God, but you're the Eve that's going to reconcile with mankind to begin again this divine life that Adam lost. So mystical phenomenon all occurred there. Besides the orphans, Luisa also received boys from the Association of St. Luigi and brought there by the confessor Don Benedito Calvi. All of those who approached Luisa were surely watched with fondness by Jesus and the Madonna. See, I'm telling you, when you get to know Luisa, you fall more in love with Jesus. You fall more in love with Our Lady. She was the instrument that carried great friendship with the friendship of Jesus. The Son of God participated in the sufferings of Jesus. And this, she likewise communicated to us all. And we were very proud of this. This suffering, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional suffering that you're going through, this cross that God has given you is your life. And our job is to embrace it and to begin to live this abundant life. So the memory of that day remains always alive in my mind. The pain for the loss of a person so much, very much beloved, at the same time, the great joy in seeing the participation and accompaniment of the entire country, which was like a sign of affection, thanks, which everyone gave to Luisa. This is at her funeral. The soul left great impression in the world. In fact, when the news of her death was announced, all of Corrado exclaimed, "The Saint Luisa has died." Her holiness and spirituality was already recognized during her life. In fact, everyone asked for her prayers and intercession. And she says, "I thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to know Luisa and for the gift of a religious vocation." It is not a mistake to say that Luisa prayed for all vocations. Luisa also prayed for my vocation, which is the fruit of the prayers of Luisa. So the memory of Luisa is very much alive in me. She had a wonderful eyes. Listen, she had wonderful eyes which spoke directly to your spirit, and I will not be able to ever forget them. See, again, her eyes were amazing. When I have the occasion to see Luisa's image, I again relive, see, and feel. It appears to me to deepen the thoughts that she left with us to write and to read the testimonies of those who knew her during her life. In my life, I have had the fortune to know two great souls. First, Luisa Picaretta, and then Padre Pio. I have known the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, since I was a young girl. And in 1961, I became a novice in the company of nuns in the House of Release of Suffering. I also knew Padre Pio while he was still alive, who today now is a saint. And thus I am still alive. And I want to see the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, raised to the altar and venerated as a saint. And this is close. This is very, very close. A new and divine way of holiness is coming to all the world. The time is short. To have the book of heaven, as Jesus says, I could not give you a greater mission than to begin to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, first in this dust and then on the earth. In this dust, this earth first. And the one that you learn this from is little Luisa. You don't go to Luisa for Luisa. You go to Luisa because Jesus and Mary breathed this into her. And it's ours now. Ours if we want it. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Luisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.